Merry Christmas, everyone, and welcome to our Christmas service today, the 25th of December, 2020. What a year! And now we are celebrating this strange times, Christmas, when we're at home. And I'm sure we all miss our churches, that we could have been now singing our carols. But even if the churches are not the places we can meet because of these situations, yet we can still praise Jesus. And Jesus is still born, and Jesus will still continue to be our King and rule in our hearts. And so as we think about this, let us continue to be thankful to God for His many blessings and all the ways of which we have experienced His grace, and that we are here to listen to this service and to take part in this service as we worship Him and sing our praises. As we are at home, please sing as loud as you can, because you are in your bubble, and therefore there is no problem joining on and singing these hymns, these carols. And so, as we begin our Christmas service, first of all, we light our final Christmas candle, which is the candle of the Christ child, who has brought us that hope, that peace, that joy, and that love, the Christ child. And so let us pray. Lord, we thank you for coming to earth so that you could redeem us. We thank you as we think of the extent to which you were willing to go in order to save us. It makes us want to shout and celebrate and to cry with thankfulness. You love us so much, Lord, and we are so grateful for that love. Without you, we would still be lost in sin. But because of everything you have done for us, today we are free, our lives are being blessed, and you, Jesus, are our Lord, and heaven is our eternal home. We will continually thank you for everything you have done in order to save us. And so we pray this, that you may be with us during this service, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Our first hymn is the First Noel, and this Noel means Jesus taking the human form, the birth of a baby. That is Noel, and Emmanuel, God within us. It is a combination of the incarnation and the baby being born.
Cold winter's night.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The prayers for penitence. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these, and on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now we can sing the glory. Collect for Christmas. Almighty God, you have given us your only begotten Son to take our nature before him, and as at this time to be born of a pure virgin. Grant that we who have been born again and made your children by adoption and grace may daily be renewed by your Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Now let us listen to our Old Testament reading.
This reading is from Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Light has dawned upon them, dwellers in a land as dark as death. Thou hast increased their joy and given them great gladness. They rejoice in thy presence as men rejoice at harvest, or as they are glad when they share out the spoil. For thou hast shattered the yoke that burdened them, the collar that lay heavy on their shoulders, the driver's goad, as on the day of Midian's defeat. All the boots of trampling soldiers and the garments fouled with blood shall become a burning mass, fuel for fire. For a boy has been born for us, a son given to us, to bear the symbol of dominion on his shoulder. And he shall be called in purpose wonderful, in battle godlike, father for all time, prince of peace. Great shall be the dominion be, and boundless the peace bestowed on David's throne and on his kingdom, to establish it and sustain it with justice and righteousness, from now and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is taken from Titus, chapter 2, verses 1 till 14. You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older man to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderous or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young man to be self-controlled. In everything set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Saviour attractive. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Here ends the reading.
Thanks be to God. Our next hymn is O Holy Night, and it was sung by Joan at the Carlton Road Carol Service.
Thank you.
the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke, chapter 2 and verses 1 to 14. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, a town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable before you, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Today it's Christmas, and the main focus obviously is the joy of the Christ child, Jesus of Nazareth. Our theme today, based on the three readings we've had, is Jesus the Shepherd, the Light and Hope for the World. Jesus the Shepherd, the Light and Hope for the World. The main verse which comes to me is that the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only. There are events in life which stand out as landmarks or milestones. There are also people who rise up to the heights of fame in this world, but neither of those events nor people can be comparable to Jesus, who to this day is worshipped as the Lord and Savior. His birth was marked by signs and wonders in the sky, the angels singing, and the star which led the wise men. What makes it even more special is that the expectation of his birth was announced hundreds of years earlier. Many people looked forward to his arrival, but when he arrived, he was neither accepted nor recognized until when he had died. It was only a few people who did recognize him and accept him. It was when he had gone and people remembered his words and his life and activities that people's eyes were opened to him. Luke is writing about him, and it shows us some fundamental truths about Jesus and the whole way God came to earth through the birth of Jesus. First of all, Jesus was a historical figure and not a mythical figure. He came in a time and place. It was the time of the reign of the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus. Caesar Augustus came to power following the death of his uncle, who became his carer and adopted him later as his son, Julius Caesar, as we see in Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. Caesar Augustus had wanted to hold a census in his growing domain, and especially in Judah, where he sent a governor from Syria, whose name was Quirinius, to supervise and manage the census in Judah. This is a historical fact recorded by other historians of that time, including a very famous Josephus. This was the first census under the new emperor, Augustus Caesar. That is the first thing, that this was a historical figure and not a mythical figure. And the proof is to show that there were people who did exist and were in power at the time of his birth. Secondly, what Luke is pointing out is that the birth of Jesus came at a particular time and place, but it also involved real people, both dignitaries and non-dignitaries, both rulers and non-rulers, such as what we see in the involvement of the shepherds. It happened in a context of life carrying on as usual. No announcements, no advertisements or promotions to announce the birth of this Savior. Everything seemed to be quiet and unrecognized. Because it was quite conspicuous, even the date of his birth is still quite controversial. Although it is placed between 1 BC and 1 AD, it can still be a few dates either way. And the fourth point which Luke is making is that, humanly speaking, on his human side, Jesus was from a normal family with human ancestry from Nazareth in Galilee and descendants of King David. Luke does not go any further into details. Having mentioned the rulers who were in power when Jesus was born, who did not know what was going on, he moves on to tell us about the shepherds in the fields who get the first news. And I think what Luke was trying to point out here were about four things. First, a shepherd was the role to which God was known in his relationship to Israel. God was a shepherd to Israel. And so this was what was being indicated when the angels went straight to the shepherds before going to anyone else to let them know that the Messiah was born. The second thing Luke is trying to link here is that Jesus was being linked to the role of the shepherd of Israel, so he, Jesus, was this shepherd of Israel. Thirdly, the shepherds became the first people to hear the news and to spread the news. And finally, Luke is showing that the shepherds were the first to worship Jesus. If we had read all the way to verse 20, it says the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. The gospel is showing us that Jesus came in a normal situation with normal people in the normal day-to-day life. Will we recognize him if he came today? Will we be ready to accept and worship him if he came today? Is he here already and we haven't recognized him and we haven't worshipped him? I think this is all what Christmas is about. It is about Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 to 7, it says, "The people walking in darkness have now seen the light." One thing we need to remember is that although the people of Israel had repeatedly rejected God to the point of deserving the punishment which led them to exile, there were those who still remained faithful to God to the end. Those Isaiah calls the remnant, if you read from Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 21. He talks about those who are the remnants, who remain faithful to God and worshiping God. So this remnant remained faithful to God even when they unfortunately had to suffer what the rest had to go through. So Isaiah is pointing out two things in chapter 9. First, he says, the lives of these people, he calls the remnants, continue to be a witness of God to others. Like light shining in the dark, among those who previously had not known God. Chapter 9, verse 2, he says, "The people walking in darkness have seen the great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Secondly, Isaiah is pointing out to this light, which will ultimately be brought about as the light of the world, in terms of making life worth living. This was fulfilled by the coming of Jesus, who went about healing and feeding people and preaching the good news of God's loving mercy and God's forgiveness. That is the light. Instead of being landless, confined, and ill-treated, and living in gloom, the people became happy as one who has had a bumper harvest and had a bounty in store, as he shows in verse 3. Says, "You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder." This is the sign of God's mercy and protection and strengthening of his people. This also was to be brought about by the coming of the Savior, Jesus Christ, as it shows in verses 6 to 9. And this is the one we celebrate at Christmas, because in verse 6 to 9 he says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor," implying his wisdom, "Mighty God, his power, Everlasting Father, his eternal existence, and Prince of Peace." That means everything he will put in harmony. "Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will rule on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." And so this is what was pointing towards Jesus, as Isaiah shows, the light which now comes as a Savior to be among the people. And finally, hope for the world, as Paul writes his letter to Titus. And this was a message, as we saw yesterday, of that wholesome thinking, that we are body, mind, and soul, but we are also a community of relationships, of different gender, different age, different skills. And so in 2 Timothy 1:14, in this hope to the world, Paul is asking Titus to teach the different people in society to have a good conduct in life, which will be honorable to God, and which will reflect the character of Jesus. In verses 11 to 14, Titus is being told, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people." The grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify us for himself, a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. So this is the teachings of which Paul is saying will reflect the character of Jesus and the purpose to which Jesus came. He addresses older men in verse 2. He says, "Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and endurance." So that's for older men, to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and endurance. And in verse 3, he says, "Likewise, teach older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good." And in verse 4, he gives a reason why older women have to be reverent in the way they live, because he says then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children. Verse 6, he talks about younger men to be self-controlled in everything, to set an example by doing what is good. And he calls Timothy himself to teach with integrity and seriousness. But also in verse 9, he talks about slaves to be subject to their masters. And I think in the modern world, where slavery is a crime, you're talking about employment, the employers and employee relationship. That once you are employed, do not steal to the company or organization you are working with, and show that they can trust you fully. And also to teach about God, that God has brought Jesus as our Savior. And so these are the things which reflect the grace of God which appeared through Jesus, that he wants to bring lives into harmony, into a caring society. And because we are remembering Christmas, when Jesus came to be the light of the world, but also to be the shepherd and to bring hope to our lives. May God bless us and give us a good and honorable Christmas, forgetting about all the things which we could not do this year. Remember that Christ is still there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may we reflect on our faith in Jesus by the Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And now let us pray. Almighty God, the fountain of all goodness, bless our Sovereign Lady, Queen Elizabeth, and all who are in authority under her, that they may order all things in wisdom and equity, righteousness and peace, to the honor of your name, and for the good of your Church and people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, fountain of all goodness, bless, we pray, the Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Charles of Wales, and all the royal family. Endue them with your Holy Spirit, enrich them with your heavenly grace, prosper them with all happiness, and bring them to your everlasting kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now we pray for those who govern. Eternal God, fount and source of all authority and wisdom, hear our prayer for those who govern. Give Elizabeth, our Queen, grace as a symbol of loyalty and unity for all our different peoples. Give to the parliaments of these islands, and especially to our own government, wisdom and skill, imagination and energy. Give to the members of the European institutions vision, and also with all the institutions understanding and integrity, that all may live in peace and happiness truth and prosperity. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For our bishops and pastors, Almighty and everlasting God, the only worker of great marvels, send down upon our bishops and other pastors and all congregations committed to their care the spirit of your saving grace, and that they may truly please you, pour upon them the continual dew of your blessing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And for our diocesan prayer calendar today, the 25th, we pray for Kessingland, for Gisselham and Kessingland Rushmere, for clergy Mandy Bishop, and for reader Doreen Cowie. We also pray for Kessingland Church of England Primary Academy. Thank you for all the work which is being done there. And we continue to pray for Christians of all denominations working together to provide Christmas warmth, food, and companionship to the lonely, the homeless, and the despairing. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for the people of Bethlehem. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And for our team, we pray for Christmas communion at Wacton, for Heather doing it, and Christmas all-age celebration at Stratton St. Mary. We also pray for all those who would normally come to the village hall for Christmas dinner. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for the guidance of your Holy Spirit. God, who from of old taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending to them the light of your Holy Spirit, grant us, by the same Spirit, to have the right judgment in all things, and evermore to rejoice in his holy comfort. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And for the peace of the world, Almighty God, from whom all thoughts of truth and peace proceed, kindle, we pray, in the hearts of all the true love of peace, and guide with your pure and peaceable wisdom those who take counsel for the nations of the earth, that in tranquility your kingdom may go forward till the earth is filled with the knowledge of your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And in the time of silence, let us remember those who are unwell. And especially during this time of Christmas, for those who are on their own, those who are isolating, those who are shielding. But we also pray for those whom we know. We pray for Molly. We pray for Helen. We pray for Robin, Brenda, Dilkey, and Betsy. We pray especially for Robin following his eye operation, that he would recover quickly. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we remember those who lost their loved ones this year. And those who have lost their loved ones more recently. May their souls and the souls of all the faithfully departed, in the mercy of God, rest in peace. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our next hymn is It Came Upon the Midnight Clear.
Thank you.
Christ is our peace, and in him we have peace with God and peace with one another. May the peace of our Lord be always with you, and also with you. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts, we lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Almighty God, good Father, to us all, your face is turned towards your world. In love, you gave us Jesus, your Son, to rescue us from sin and death. Your word goes out to call us home, to the city where angels sing your praise. We join with them in heaven's song. Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favor on your people. Gather us in your loving arms and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, O loving Father, for ever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread.
Thank you.
We do not presume to come to this, your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. The body of Christ keep you to eternal life. Amen. The blood of Christ keep you to eternal life. Amen. And now for our post-communion prayer. God our Father, whose word has come among us in the Holy Child of Bethlehem, may the light of faith illumine our hearts and shine in our words and deeds, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Our final hymn is Once in Royal David's City. Thank you very much, everyone, for taking part in this service. And I do hope that you have a good few days to New Year. And for today, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and God bless you all. As our Lord Jesus Christ said, "As the Father sent me, even so I send you. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, Amen." Thank you very much, and thank you for all those who helped in the reading of the service. May God bless you all.